America tonight, we kick it around with our pals from Talk Radio News. The Grand Dame is with us, Ellen Ratner. And as usual, she's on the road, but you're going to love this. You know, this is election galore across the United States for different issues, different people, all that kind of stuff. And she is actually in New Mexico to help her sister-in-law. Ellen, you are tireless. You are unbelievable. And here you are again on the road, this time stumping for somebody. Explain what's going on there.
Well, my sister-in-law is the elected county clerk at Santa Fe County. Now, usually, you know, that's an interesting job. It involves a register of marriages, property, all that kind of stuff. In Santa Fe, actually, you also are in charge of all of the historical records. And Santa Fe County has the oldest public building in the United States of America. It's over 400 years old. So
wow.
It's a very interesting job. But tonight, she's running for Public Regulatory Commission, which regulates health insurance rates, phone rates, that kind of thing. It's a very responsible, important job.
Yeah, so were you out there handing out flyers and stuff, bumper stickers?
Oh, I've been out all day electioneering.
I love that. All right, so because I said there's a bunch of issues and whatnot going on, labor, I think, is really, in a way, on trial. Big labor unions, that kind of thing, because of what's going on in Wisconsin. It's too tight to call. I just talked to somebody in Wisconsin. They say, really, looking at the exit polls, who knows if the recall is going to work for Walker or not. What do you think happens here?
Well, I don't know, but I do know one thing, whether the recall works or not. We do know that at least some of the initial exit polling seems that Obama is still very popular there. So even if Walker wins and they're able to turn this into, Walker beat the unions, blah, 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 still the issue is going to be very big on Obama and looking to November. That's really where everything's at.
Yeah, absolutely. No question about that. Paycheck Fairness Act, boom, it gets defeated.
Went
in the
down
Senate.
Totally along party lines with the two independents being Lieberman and Bernie Sanders voting with the Democrats. That meant that they did not get the votes on the floor to get it, to keep it going.
Yeah. Here's the big shocker, though. The CBO comes out with this, that the debt will double the GDP by 2037. Jeez.
That is, if the Bush tax cuts are still in place, that is going to be one of the big big issues. And so, honestly,
that's if they're replaced, but listen to this, Ellen, and you know this. This came out today that Clinton is not backing Obama in this one. He thinks they should extend the tax rates.
Yeah, it was a throwaway line that he used, and everybody is just in shock. They think, hey, this guy is not, as they say in the business, on message.
Yeah, on message. I like that. All right, we know you're swamped and you're got your fingers crossed and you're waiting for results and stuff. Ellen Ratner, Talk Radio News. Wish your sister-in-law the best, and thanks for coming on with us.
Will do.
All right, a couple of things that Ellen said there. One, and you heard me mention about Clinton, about the end of the Bush-era tax cuts. Clinton maybe had a slip, or perhaps he had too much caffeine. He did definitely not stay on message by saying that they need to be extended to help the middle class, which I agree at this point we're so over hot coils and coals, like on my electric stove, that we got to do something about it. You heard us talk about money in the mix right on the top there, and the fact that, you know, the CBO is probably a little conservative even on their estimate. We know we are drowning in a sea of debt, absolutely. Well, somebody who's not drowning, it is official. Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker becomes the first governor. Yes, remember I said there was three recall movements. He becomes the first guy, though, in U.S. history in the governor's chair to survive a recall election. 16 months of this stuff back and forth. I mean, nastiness. That started when Walker and the state scaled back all of those union rights. Here's Walker.
Tonight we tell Wisconsin We tell our country and we tell people all across the globe that voters really do want leaders who stand up and make the tough decisions. We'll renew our commitment to help grow the quality of life for all of our citizens, both those who voted for me and those who voted for someone else. A few minutes ago, I talked to Mayor Tom Barrett. No. The election is over. I talked to the mayor, and we had a good talk, and I said, I'm committed to working with you to help the city of Milwaukee and to help the state of Wisconsin. Tomorrow, the election is over. It's time to move Wisconsin forward. Next week, I'm going to invite all the members of the state legislature, Republican and Democrat alike. And what better way to bring people together than to invite them over for some brats and some burgers, right? I believe that for the sake of our children and our grandchildren, now is the time for us to come together to tackle the challenges that face our small businesses, to tackle the challenges that face our families and our businesses and our seniors and all the people who care about the future of this state.
All right, so it is done. Walker, about 54%. Barrett, you know, these numbers keep changing a little bit, but Barrett, 45%. So it was pretty close, but it does show that, hey, those labor unions and the stranglehold that they have is slipping away. We may see this in power other people in government in other states when the budgets get a little near that crisis level, like in California when you're talking about $16 to $18 billion. It depends on how much you believe in the projections of Governor Jerry Brown as to where they are. And the fact that you have bloated state governments, bloated national government, and you got to do something. You got to do something to make the hard cuts, even if it's not popular. But the acrimony that started in Wisconsin, I still don't think, even after this recall, is going to die down, especially it was very, very close. And because of that, I mean, you had a lot of people that went out to the polls. I love to see the numbers when it comes in, how many people voted, but I heard it was just record turnout vote. I think that is a good thing, but there's no question that even though this is over, it's not really over because, you know, they're hanging on to it. So it's going to be interesting time still, I believe, in Wisconsin. Hey, speaking of labor problems, you know, we did our blind Belmont challenge last week. Now there's a chance that there's this labor dispute at Belmont Park that could scratch the I'll have another the horse's chance of winning the first Triple Crown in more than 30 years, because Affirm was the last horse to do that, remember, in 1978. Governor Cuomo is urging both sides to reach some kind of an agreement, and an official with the union representing maintenance and starting gate workers at the racetrack said he hadn't heard of any progress whatsoever as the mediation continues well into Wednesday morning. You got about 150 union members at NYRA, that's New York, NYRA's Belmont, Aqueduct, and Saratoga tracks who are not happy with their working conditions, protesting, and are talking about a strike. They've been working without a contract since February of 2011. Can you imagine if the Belmont was scratched? Ooh, stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what Pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my legs has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead, has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
Now what? Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America. Tonight, you can weigh in, by the way, 855-266-KATE. 855-266-KATE. Last week, I was saying thumbs up or thumbs down to unions at this point with just how big the unions have become and what are they really doing for the worker, I think is the question. We've had this back and forth tug of war before. Some unions are great, depending on what it is you do. Others are awful. And unfortunately, what happens in so many cases is, guess what? If you're not in the union and you work in the private sector, you're once again footing the bill for everybody else. And the pensions have become crippling. That's part of the problem. So now Walker is trying to figure out a way to bridge the gap. I mean, he is offering the olive branch because he realizes in his state there's a lot of very bitter, bitter feelings. So you have public employee unions that have experienced an amazing drop in membership. They say by more than half for the second biggest union. So the reason why is because the people say that are in the unions that they don't have the ability to really have any kind of bargaining power over what somebody's getting paid and working conditions, so why bother? Now, if he had been booted, if Walker had been recalled, it would have been a blow to the Republican Party in a lot of ways, because he's a rising star, and it would have sent messages to people like the governor of New Jersey, Chris Christie, a guy who's constantly battling, especially the teachers' union in that state. It would have sent the message that, boy, if you do this, there's a great chance you could have a lot of recall movements afoot, because, you know, you got to put the taxpayer, once again, has to foot the bill for it, but it's an easy thing to roll out, and perhaps we would have seen more of those. So, you know, is this an endorsement in the effort to cut back or curtail the public sector unions, which, you know, have been huge for organized labor, but they're seeing the membership is certainly dwindling compared to what it used to be. And does this mean we're going to see more of this nationwide? Are we going to see more of this happening? I'll give you a good example. I said the state's second largest public sector union, right, is the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. That's the second biggest one after the National Education Association, of course, the teachers. And what has happened is that they fell from 28,745 in February from, so you got that number right, over 28,000, from 62,000 plus strong in March of 2011. That is a huge, huge drop off. And I think that there is something to this that will show. I don't know if it has any bearing, as Ellen Ratner was saying at the top. Her point of view is she doesn't think it's going to have much of a bearing on the presidential race, but I think it definitely has bearing on unions and the power of unions in the country, not just in Wisconsin, but in other places. And you may see when, you know, the axe has to swing and unions have a stranglehold on the pocketbook, if you will, of some of these states, that some things are going to shake loose, and maybe some other governors, especially Republican governors, although it doesn't have to be Republican governors. It's not necessarily, it's turned into that, but it's not necessarily a, especially in the national level, a Republican issue. It's also a Democratic issue, too, with the amount of money that is pumped into campaigns. You know, it goes both ways on the national level. The speaking of campaigns and the presidential elections and all that kind of stuff, big moments today for Romney because, boy, we've heard this song dance before. What is it that when people are, who are running for office or people who are completely loaded or meaning they have plenty of money to be able to have good systems in place, why, how is it that it can get hacked into? I get it that the people who do the hacking now are just that much more clever, but they're talking about the possibility that Mitt Romney's personal email was hacked. Gawker had a report out that I read that showed that they were contacted by someone who says that they hacked into his Hotmail account. His email address was actually disclosed in a Wall Street Journal story that was published on Tuesday because it was looking at how the former Massachusetts governor lobbied for health care reform in the state, and a bunch of Romney's emails from his Hotmail account were included in public records that were published by the journal. That's nice, isn't it? Got to watch those email addresses.
Who still uses Hotmail?
I don't know. I was thinking that same thing.
You got
thing.
AOL dial-up internet, too?
Oh, the worst. AOL was the worst. I hated AOL. Sorry. It was the worst. I couldn't wait to switch. Wireless. It rocks. I don't care what it costs. You have to have wireless. We're also wired in. How could you possibly not have the latest, greatest to get you there at the speed of light? So, yeah, it is very odd that he had this Hotmail account. Boy, it's like, maybe it's a Republican thing. It's like George Bush, although I think he was smart because he never emailed. And so they can never catch him in any emails like, well, look at the email that he sent to whoever and look what he said in the email. Because there's no emails. There's no emails to collect for George Bush. So Romney might be taking a page out of his playbook. But several of his emails were out there. They were published. So did anyone break into the email or not? But the campaign is saying that they're taking it very seriously, and they have no comment. They have no further comments whatsoever. They don't want a repeat performance of 2008. Because remember 2008, whose email was hacked into? Sarah Palin. Remember she had Yahoo, and they leaked a bunch of messages during the final weeks of the campaign. Yeah. When in doubt, don't use an email with a bad password or somebody publishing it all over the place. so that some hacker can spend hours upon hours trying to jam into your system. So anyway, so that's part of what the Romney people were dealing with, besides the usual schmoozing and whatnot that you have to do when you're campaigning, because this is it. This is the nitty-gritty stuff. This is getting to the promised land, so there's no day that can go wasted for Romney. He was fundraising in Texas, and his fundraising brought in some pretty big bucks. So there are a lot of people that are starting to step up Republican-wise to help Mitt Romney. $15 million is what he got for 2 days. $15 million. And one of the top donors is a Dallas investor who announced the total at the first of the two fundraisers that were held. About 500 people turned out to hear Romney speak at the Belo Mansion in downtown Dallas. You know how much they paid? $2,500. That's a general reception. And then $10,000. He loved this too. But everyone does this. So Obama's doing it all over the place with Goldman Sachs people. $10,000 to pose for a photo with them. Yep, is Mitt Romney worth $10,000? I mean, it's more about they're going to donate to the campaign, but that's the little extra part of it. Then they had a dinner and all this other stuff, and they think they were going to even bring in some more money after that. So Romney's the guy, and people are starting to circle the wagons around Mitt Romney. Hey, coming up, by the way, if you're around in our fourth hour here on America Tonight, we're going to talk about Ron Paul and the power of Ron Paul, the guy, really cool guy named Brian Daugherty, who wrote a book about Paul, followed him for the entire year, talks about what kind of impact he's going to have on the Republican Party going into the future, even though he's giving up his title of congressman, and what he's going to do at the Republican convention. Not so much on the floor of the convention, but the power he still yields with so many people. And, you know, we like Ron Paul. We like a lot of his ideas. And Brian talks about him being ahead of his time and actually compares him to the Goldwater kids and what happened there and some of the changes they saw into the future. And Ron Paul is kind of like that Pied Piper. So that's in our fourth hour of this version of America Tonight. Coming up next, though, we're heading to Hollywood for a conversation with Stephen Shohet.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Attention, mindless criminals, thugs, and thieves. Go ahead, break a leg. American homeowners are fed up with your door kick-ins and forced entries. We now dare you to try your boot against any door reinforced with the Door Sentinel. The Door Sentinel pack includes a steel door jam plate with 3.5-inch screws, a lock shield, and hinge shields. The Door Sentinel installs in minutes, securing any front, side, or back doors, even French doors. Criminals, be forewarned, your leg will break before the Door Sentinel will budge. Even if you have an alarm system, back it up with the Door Sentinel. Basic products starting under $20. Order your Door Sentinel today for your home, garage, or any building you own or rent at MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com or call 678-648-6757. That's 678-648-6757. Get your peace of mind back with Door Sentinel. The Door Sentinel. Always on guard.
We take a lot for granted. Lights, water, even food we eat. But what if these things went away? Would you know how to protect your family in a natural or man-made disaster? Would you know how to survive? When disaster hits, power and water are gone and the mobs go crazy grabbing food off the shelves, you and your family may be waiting in long lines for help. Don't be helpless. Learn the secrets to survival at 123survivalplan.com. Do you know the 37 crucial food items you can't live without? Many people don't have these food items. Learn what you need to hoard at 123survivalplan.com. Recently, over 1 million people have viewed the video at 123survivalplan.com. These survival secrets are vital. The government suggests we maintain an emergency supply of food and water. But do you know the 37 food items that will fly off grocery shelves or a simple way to treat unsafe drinking water? This information is critical. Find it now on 123survivalplan.com. Don't take your family's safety for granted. Visit 123survivalplan.com. That's 123survivalplan.com.
Would it save you time to get the best quality water filters and the best quality storable foods from one company? You bet it would, and now you can at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Big Berkey water filter products and great-tasting, long-lasting, storable, wise foods are both now available on one website, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Wise foods, ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches and come with a 25-year shelf life. Big Berkey water filters are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. Combine Berkey water filters with Wise foods for an unbeatable preparedness combination. Get free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, waterfilters.com. Or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-B-E-R-K-E-Y. Or go to BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com.
Miss Vickers would like to have a quick word before the adventure begins.
I think there might be some confusion about our relationship. Let's say we do find these beings down there. We won't engage them. We won't talk to them. We'll do nothing but report back to me.
That would be The Stylings of Ridley Scott. The last, of course, one of my favorite movies. You're talking about Blade Runner, and coming up, Prometheus, which is, I think, going to be a surefire hit. That's what we're talking about this time around with Stephen Shohet, who is the author of Hollywood Story, Short Entertaining Anecdotes About the Stars and Legends of the Movies. Hey, Stephen, how are you?
Hey, Kate, I'm great. How are you?
Good. Ridley Scott, I'll tell you what, he is like, got the Midas touch. Blade Runner, he definitely had the Midas touch. Is he going to have the Midas touch with Prometheus?
I think he will with Prometheus, but, you know, it's interesting about Blade Runner. That was not a hit when it came out. In fact, Ridley Scott was actually fired off that movie for going over budget about $28 million. And one of the producers, Bud Yorkin, told Ridley Scott at one point, "You're stealing from my grandchildren. You know, I'm forced to invest my own money in this thing. It's horrible." And that's one reason why there's never been a sequel to Blade Runner, although now it looks like finally that might happen in 2014. But Ridley Scott wanted to do with it to do one earlier, but there was a lot of bitterness from the producers about how that film actually went down. I mean, it was really something. I mean, there's a lot of conflict on a lot of movies, but that movie is really up there on the tension level between the cast and the crew and the director and the producers.
What? So because it was so far over budget, he gets booted. What was all the tension for? Part of that reason, because of all the overruns and longer days?
Well, that was one tension. Another tension was the story. I mean, obviously, it's based on the Philip K. Dick novel, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? When Philip K. Dick wrote that story, it took place in San Francisco, and Ridley Scott, after scouting around, decided to take it, have it take place in Los Angeles. Now, Ridley Scott Scott believes big time in global warming. So he postulated that by 2019, and I guess it could still happen, the weather would have changed so much that New York would be the sunny place and L.A. would be totally rainy all the time. And so that's in the story. And another thing was Ridley Scott is an art director, and his movies look spectacular. And they came up with this fantastic set on the back lot of Warner Brothers where we have these tall buildings where there are some rich people living and they never come down. And the city sort of becomes the basement with people who are less well-to-do and more troubled mulling around. And, of course, you have the air cars going around. And so it was very expensive to do. Now, another issue was the star of the movie. Harrison Ford, Ridley Scott had seen him in the movie The Conversation, a movie that was made really before he was becoming a big star. And he thought he would be perfect to play this sort of Philip Marlowe-like character, Decker. But Harrison Ford had just come from doing Raiders of the Lost Ark. In fact, when he met Ridley Scott, he was coming from the set and he was wearing the fedora hat. He was in the Indiana Jones costume and he said, I want to do something different. I don't want to look like this grizzled guy that I look like in Raiders of the Lost Ark. I have to give a different impression. And so there were issues over what Harrison Ford looked like, but the biggest issue was that the story, Ridley Scott felt that the Harrison Ford character was another replicant. Now, Harrison Ford felt that his character was totally human and was so adamant about it that he went to the producers and complained about how Ridley Scott was guiding the story. And it remains an issue to this day. I mean, Philip K. Dick, he had the Deckard character being human. Rutger Hauer, he agreed with Harrison Ford that he's human. Edward James Olmos thought he was a replicant. So the creative people went in all different directions, but ultimately it's Ridley Scott's movie, and he, especially with later cuts of the film, definitely had the character be a replicant, and he feels that you're a moron if you don't see that.
I love that. He feels like you're a moron if you don't see it. I have to say,
yeah,
I liked Blade Runner. But you're right. I didn't even realize that it was more of the underground. Then it started to percolate and people started to watch it or rent it or whatever. So then is it sort of like the underground hit? Would you call
it
that?
Yeah, it became, I mean, you know, time went on. I'll tell you, for me personally, what really makes it good for me is I didn't like it, the whole movie, until you get to the Rutger Hauer scene at the end where he made the speech about tears and rain. And that to me was so moving, that's the image that sticks with me. And why Harrison Ford was having a miserable time not getting along with Ridley Scott and Sean Young, who he thought was too inexperienced to be in such a major film, Rutger Hauer had a fantastic time. And actually, when he went to Ridley Scott and suggested that his speech when he's about to die, which was much longer, actually be cut down, because he said, you know, I'm about to die, I don't have much time to say this, and he added the tears and rain line, and it was just so moving, and it just really made an impression. And I think for a lot of people, they thought about that movie maybe a little bit more after they saw it the first time. And not only that, another thing that happened was the producers of the movie felt that nobody would understand it, and so they had Harrison Ford come in and record a voiceover narration. Now, Harrison Ford, that was one time when he was agreeing with Ridley Scott that the movie didn't need that, and he, according to a lot of accounts, did a less than professional job because he was hoping they wouldn't use the voiceover narration, and then they did, and then they didn't in later cuts. I mean, Ridley Scott made the final cut a couple years ago, and the voiceover narration was totally gone. So, so the movie definitely changed in further incarnations. But as time went on, it was a lot of people's favorite science fiction film. And I think for a lot of people, again, the Rutger Hauer soliloquy at the end might be the most moving thing they ever saw in a science fiction film. So I think that added to it. You know, a funny story about that. When Rutger Hauer did that scene, the crew was crying at the end of it. They were so moved by his performance. But some people on the set were saying, well, they're moved because, thank goodness, we're finally done with this movie. I mean, it took forever. The crew did not like Ridley Scott either. They actually had T-shirts at the time that said Will Rogers never met Ridley Scott.
That's clever. I like that. So this new movie, you said if you were just looking at a crystal ball, you think that it's going to do well. I've seen the trailers for it. I think it does well. Ridley Scott goes on after Blade Runner to just become a huge bankable name in Hollywood, right?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And, of course, he's made Gladiator. And, of course, he's had failures, too, movies that didn't do as well. But I think this movie, of course, Prometheus, relates somehow to Alien, which was one of his biggest hits. And it was originally planned to be a prequel to Alien. Now he's saying it's very loosely connected to Alien. It takes place in the same universe, and it's more about the origin of the species. But I'll tell you, the young actors in the movie, I mean, they're just saying wonderful, positive things about Ridley Scott. Now, to be fair, in 1982, when Harrison Ford and Ridley Scott were doing promotions, they didn't mention any of the animosity that took place on the set. So that could always be possible. Ridley Scott admitted that he was yelling a lot in that movie, and he was impatient. And I think over the years he's become more of a director that actors really want to work for, and I think that's evident in the enthusiasm of the cast of Prometheus. But I think it has a great look, and it's intriguing to find out how it's connected to the first Alien movie. And I'm not Nostradamus, but I would predict a big hit.
Yeah, I would agree with you there, absolutely. All right, Stephen Showhead, we'll talk to you again next week. Hollywood Stories, pick it up. You'll love it. Thank you, my friend.
Oh, thanks for having me, Kate.
All right, so, I don't know how many of you saw Blade Runner, but as I said to Stephen, I really, really liked that movie, but I came late to the party, too. My brother, I think, had seen it and said, oh, I think you're just going to absolutely love this movie. You have to see it. And that's what made me go and rent it. It was a rental that when I first saw, so I didn't see it on the big screen either. And I certainly didn't know that backstory that Stephen was talking about there. I knew that there were some problems on the set, didn't realize how much tension there was there, and you know what an incredible movie that to me what that turned out to be, and then what kind of a career Ridley Scott went on to have. There's something about sci-fi, there's something about futuristic movies. You either like them or you don't. And I'm kind of that in between, that rare in between person. I like sci-fi, but some of it I think is terrible. It's just trash. It's awful. I can't watch it. And then there's some that's just so incredibly good. If you go to the Sci-Fi Channel, they have some pretty good fare on that channel. That's very watchable. That's so, so well done. All right, coming up as we head for the exit, going to mix in some odds and ends, more reaction to Walker staying as the governor of Wisconsin. What does it all mean? Bill Clinton says extend the Bush tax credits. We had a surplus, after all, four times when I was president. And to kind of piggyback on the movies, we got DVD releases. Stay with us.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient nutrient value of fruits and vegetables and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TERRAGANIX.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Hey, meat eaters. The freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standard for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The Freeze-Dry Guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every meat eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus meat eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the freeze-dry guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Attention, information in this one-minute message could save your life. Don't wait for the next emergency to happen. Act now to be prepared. Now, more than ever, civilians and communities must communicate with family, friends, and neighbors in the event of civil unrest, natural disasters, or other emergencies. That's why there's CivilDispatch.com. CivilDispatch.com is a universal system that can be used for a wide array of urgent notification alerts. Weather emergencies, civil unrest, emergency responders, amber alerts, school or business closings, any need-to-know situation. CivilDispatch.com is an emergency dispatch communication system, allowing anyone to quickly and easily send and instantaneously track emergency email and text alert notifications. CivilDispatch.com gives you the power of enterprise alerting without the enterprise cost. Don't find yourself unprepared. Learn more and become a member at CivilDispatch.com. That's CivilDispatch.com. Civilian Emergency Dispatch System. Peace through preparedness.
Well, there's a couple that have come out that you might like. Safe House has a lot of big stars in it. Denzel Washington, Ryan Reynolds, Vera Farmiga, also Brendan Gleeson. Trust me, you would know Brendan Gleeson once you saw him. Sam Shepard also in this movie. And it's basically a bunch of bad guys ripping up a safe house, a CIA safe house. And the person that's the sitter has to move a criminal who's hiding there to a much more secure location. Did okay at the movies. Over $126 million. I had a couple friends that saw it on the big screen. They liked it enough. Our own Matt Johnson gave me his 2 cents before we jumped back on the air. And he said, it was okay. It was okay. So his okay means, yeah, if you rent it for a couple of dollars, you won't be completely disappointed. But it's not going to knock your socks off. I don't know that this one would be any good. The title I love, Journey to the Mysterious Island. On this one, you basically have this, supposedly, Sean Anderson partners with his mom's boyfriend. Oh, that could be interesting. On a mission to find his grandfather who's missing on a mythical island. Okay, Dwayne Johnson. You know who Dwayne Johnson is, remember? The Rock. He's in this movie. Kristen Davis is in this movie. Vanessa Hudgens is in this movie, but who cares? It did okay at the theater. It's a PG movie, raked in over $100 million, but yeah, I might have to skip that one. John Carter, my goodness, they blew this thing up. It was all about 3D and all that other sort of stuff. Remember, it came out in March, and Taylor Kitsch, the Canadian, you have a soft spot in my heart for Canadians. Taylor Kitsch was the star of this movie from a television show called Friday Night Lights. But the movie didn't do all that great. Like $72 million, it cost a gazillion to make. John Carter was a Civil War vet. He gets transplanted to Mars, and then the rest is, well, you know, let your imagination run wild. Because you have these green barbarians and all these other things that are after him, and he's trying to save the princess. So imagine you get transported from the Civil War to Mars. Yeah, it's a little bit of a stretch, but the movie just didn't do well. So no matter what, stretch or no stretch or whatever, it wasn't a movie that a lot of people went to go and see. Now, remember when you have DVDs come out, sometimes you have television series that come out too. One that I absolutely endorse, loved, I mean, I just loved this show, and I have to refer to my man Matt again because he was talking about it, made me want to see it. And I did one of those crazy things where you have, for a person especially who doesn't watch a lot of TV, I did it on a rainy weekend. I did a marathon and watched Breaking Bad. So the television show, the series, the rentals are out for that for 2008, and it's awesome. Burn Notice is another one that's another television show that's pretty good, completely different than Breaking Bad, but both of them, I would recommend those over anything. All right, speaking of recommending, when Bill Clinton talks, especially to a group of wealthy Democrats, they listen to Bill Clinton. He still has a very, very big voice in politics. And, you know, not just necessarily Democrats. There are lots of Republicans who, they don't endorse Clinton or didn't endorse the Clinton years necessarily, but some of the things that Clinton has done afterwards or some of the things that happened during his presidency, they say you got to give him that, right? He is one of those kind of guys. So here he's out giving a speech, and he talks about the fact that he had all these budgets that had surpluses, and he talks about the U.S. being in a recession, and he says you got to extend the you got to extend the Bush tax cuts. So I'm thinking, you know, Clinton doesn't do the teleprompter thing, and that wasn't in the notes. I don't know that they knew that. Was that in the notes? You can imagine the phones ringing off the wall in the White House, because this is exactly the opposite of what Obama and the administration really want to happen, and it's what the Republicans want to extend. That little bit of extra money that you now don't really see in your check, but you got it, you know, a couple of years ago, basically. So if it went away, those extra lunches, you might feel them a little bit because you'd be a little bit lighter in your wallet. And what happened was he did a taped segment on CNBC and talked about the economy and that we're in a recession. And he said Congress needs to extend all the tax cuts. They're going to expire at the end of the year because it's killing the middle class, pretty much is what he said. And he said, I think we need to find some way to avoid the fiscal cliff, to avoid doing anything that would contract the economy now and then deal with what's necessary in the long term for debt reduction plans as soon as they can, which supposedly would be, of course, after the election. But this is very counter to the cuts Obama proposed, you know, the Buffett rule, which was defeated, that would have put a tax on millionaires and on the taxes in general. In general, Clinton said it's reasonable to expect top earners to pay more, and he defended the current tax structure. He said it wouldn't look so bad if the economy was doing better. Well, he's right about that. If the economy was doing better, it wouldn't look so bad, would it? So how about that? And, you know, and then this also goes to the fact that Clinton also recently, I don't know, maybe a couple of weeks ago, actually, you know, praised Mitt Romney's record when he was at Bain. And so now you got two huge things that Clinton has said that show he does not see eye to eye with Barack Obama. You know, you could say, who cares, whatever, except for that it does show you how even Clinton gets it. He doesn't want to go there. He doesn't want to be attached to that. When he's asked about the tax cuts, he's going to tell you what he thinks because he doesn't want to be tainted by that. He doesn't want to be saying, oh, you know, no, you can't cut, you can't do that. You have to bring in more revenue. No, he didn't have to do that. In his presidency, he didn't have to sweat that one out. He had to sweat other things out, but he didn't have to sweat that out. So he's not going to give that to Obama. And I think that's a huge, huge window of opportunity to show, look at, even Clinton is saying, you just can't do that. You can't, right now you can't do that. You put us in such a terrible, terrible situation, especially with the federal debt set to double or maybe even close to triple in 15 years. Oh, a debt tripling in 15 years? Could that be more crippling? Oh, if you want to go anywhere, do it now because you're not going to be able to afford to do it. Scrape that money together. If you're planning on a vacation, I'm going to tell you the opposite of what financial people will tell you. I mean, as long as it's not completely breaking the straw on the camel's back, take that vacation somewhere because you're not going to be able to take it at all. When in 2037 and 2024, I mean, this is the worst picture we could possibly imagine. We're talking about the balloon bursting. Oh, I hate to go all negative on you at the tail end of the show. So, having said that, let's end on an up note, shall we? Oh, I'm scouring trying to find an up note during the day. That's exactly what I was doing. I was thinking, you know what? I know there's positive news out there. I know there's positive news. I think the best thing that I heard on the day is that, you know, the top dog at the GSA was trying to hide the report on that whole Vegas bash. And finally, one of the guys who's siphoning off money from all of our pockets, a guy we would have never known, is booted, has to resign, has to leave, and is still feeling the wrath as so many want to see him prosecuted. So he was just trying to hide reports. He was burying money. Duh. What do you think was going to happen? $1 million almost to go to Las Vegas? I mean, come on. So this is a winning moment. Absolutely. When you talk about a conference that costs over $800,000 with mind readers and clowns and magicians and red carpet party, I think that they need to prosecute some of these people. And maybe they still will. But the fact that at least a couple of them had to leave and can't find jobs, oh, that is music to my ears. Send me your thoughts. AmericaTonight.net.